on your feet now. Applaud God. Bring a gift of laughter. Sing yourselves into his presence. Know this, God is God. He made us, we didn't make him. We're his people, his well-tended sheep. Enter with a password, thank you. Make yourselves at home. Talking praise, thanking him. Worship him. For God is sheer beauty, all generous in love, loyal always and ever. Make yourself at home. And I just pray that that is how we feel when we come into God's presence, into our gathering together as a church. I just wanted to start with that psalm because it's just so full of praise to God and who he is and the fact that he wants us to be at home in his presence. This morning I want to speak about worship, and for those of you who've seen the bulletin, there's quite a strange title on there, I know. It took some thinking about, really, but it just seemed to sum up where I wanted to come from, and it's worship, not just for Christmas. So hopefully it'll make a bit more sense as we go along. What I wanted to start with was a question and then just some personal reflections before I actually go a bit deeper. The question that came to my mind when I was thinking about how I put this together and all the thoughts that have been bombarding my mind was, what are you expecting when you come to church? What have you expected this morning? When you were getting ready to come here, when you were coming through the door, what are you expecting? And I don't want to sort of give any possible solutions to that. I just want you to think about that and think, we'll come back to that at the end. But when you come any Sunday morning, but particularly this Sunday morning, what were you expecting to happen or to receive or whatever this morning? I just want to start by a lot of the agreements that you make or the articles you read in papers and things like that are often preceded by something. These are not necessarily the views of the management, or these are my personal thoughts or whatever, or those kind of disclaimers. I don't want to make quite that disclaimer this morning, but what I do want to say is I am standing here this morning as one of you. I am standing here as a potential worshipper, a person who is on a worship journey. I am not standing here as the perfect worshipper, as the person who's got it all together, who comes and worships abundantly every week, who receives fully every week, who's joyful every week. I come here just as you have come this morning. Over the past, I know it seems a long time, but over the past 13 years in particular, there have been some Sunday mornings when I would rather have been anywhere in the world but here, where I would have come in, and those mornings when I would have come and thought, I'm going to church because it's what I do on a Sunday morning. I've done it ever since I've been quite young. So I'm coming to church with no real expectation. Sometimes I have to say, probably with a bit of an attitude of, bless me if you can this morning, God, because I'm not feeling great. Other mornings I've actually come in because I have really felt empty but had a longing to be close to God, to know God, to want that feeling of love and fellowship in my heart. So I've had quite a lot of ups and downs over the past few years. And what I've been realising over this past few months in particular is, I really want to get back to the heart of worship myself. I really want to get back to what I had and what I knew with God, what seems like to me quite a long time ago now. And it's not that God hasn't been there. It's not that I haven't had experience of God in those intervening years. I have. I have had times of closeness to God. I've had a time where I felt I'm really moving forward with God, and then something had happened and you think, was that really God, or was it just me trying to play at it or whatever? But I've also realised that there was a time when I really had that ongoing sense of worship, that ongoing relationship with God. And again, it wasn't that it was perfect every week. It wasn't. And I didn't have problems. I did. And it wasn't that things were difficult. They were. But I just had that sense of God being with me. And I've really hungered, I suppose, in my spirit, particularly over the past 6 months or so, to get back something of that closeness to God. What I have realised, I guess, over the past few weeks, is that even if I had maintained that level of closeness, that my relationship now with God would have been different anyway. Because hopefully it would have grown, it would have changed, and so on, as any relationship does. So what I want is not back what I had back then, but what God has for me now. But the essence of that is knowing who he is and knowing his closeness again. So I just wanted to start with that, really, because I felt, actually, people need to know sometimes, but whoever's at the front hasn't got it all sewn up, hasn't got it perfect, isn't doing the whole thing and just telling you how to do it now, or, you know. I am listening to myself this morning, and hopefully I'll hear something good. And hopefully God will, in what I'm saying, speak to all of us as we journey together in worship and finding out a little bit more about what worship is. How I arrived at the title for this morning is that actually it suddenly struck me that over the Christmas period, as Louise said, we've had this intensity of services, of singing carols, of lots of things going on, not just in our church, but in other churches, of things that we might have attended with our children, our grandchildren. I know in the school that I work in, I have never had such a Christmas overload in all my life. It's lovely in that it's a faith school, but I'm just thinking, oh, there can't be another thing they're doing for Christmas. And it was just so busy that actually I just think, did I miss the point a little bit? Because it was so busy, I was going from the next Christmas worship thing to the next one. And when you're trying to include 2s, 3s, and 4-year-olds in those deep meanings, it's a little bit more stressful sometimes. So we had a lot of Christmas overload and a lot of what we would call worship. And when people who don't normally come to worship were joining with things, grandparents come to hear their children in the nativity and hear carols and songs, they'll go to the church and join in with the carol service and so on. And so worship has been a Christmas thing for a lot of people. And I have to say, sometimes for me too, Christmas has just been, you know, that time of worship. That worship has just been for that. And then we're going back into the ordinary, we're going back into the everyday, we're going back into our normal lives. But what really struck me, I guess, was originally I was going to speak about purpose and vision. But when God spoke to me about worship, the whole purpose of our life is tied up in our worship of God. Who he is and who we are and what the church is here for. So it really struck me that actually worship isn't just for Christmas. It's for every day. It's not even just for Sunday. It's for every day of our lives. And so worship is part of what we are in God, what God wants us to be, and what we are as a church. And when Louise said this morning, I mean, it's absolutely great, isn't it, that people enjoy the carol service, were excited by it, but the thought that they're actually looking forward to next year's carol service, when actually, if they were aware of God and that God actually visits us more frequently than that, they wouldn't have to wait till next year. They could come and worship weekly or whenever at Little Sprouts, you know, when people are getting together to pray. That's an act of worship. The other thing that struck me when I was thinking about the whole idea of worship was about worshipping God in spirit and in truth. Now, I read the story in John's Gospel, and you know, I get to that bit and I sort of read it, and it sounds really good, doesn't it? I worship God in spirit and truth, and I sort of pass along, and I think, yes, I sort of think I know what that means, but let's go on to an easier bit to understand. But again, I just felt that God wanted me to say this morning that he wants us to worship him in spirit and in truth. And I've just got a version of the message for Christmas. I'm really quite interested at the moment. And it does seem to put things a little bit more clearly sometimes. And it says this: your worship must engage your spirit in the pursuit of truth. That's the kind of people the Father is looking for. Those who are simply and honestly themselves before him in their worship. God is sheer being itself. He's spirit. Those who worship him must do it out of their very being, out of their spirit, out of their true selves in adoration. And I think for the first time something clicked in my head, really, about what that was really talking about. Now, it might not be the deep theological meaning that was intended, but for me, it just seemed to say to me that God, when we know God, he awakens our spirit to him. So we have a spirit in us that can connect with God and can worship God. So when we come together, and when we're alone worshipping, we can respond with our spirit. We can worship him in spirit, from what is inside us, and we can also worship in truth. Now that little bit has always sort of puzzled me, I guess. But if you just think back to what I said earlier on, there have been times when I've come and not really felt I'm worshipping him in spirit, because in truth, I haven't really felt like that. But in truth, God still loves me. All he wants is me, to offer me, myself, to open myself up to him so that he can speak to me. I thought this one, there was a lovely picture of how God is with us. I don't know if you noticed, because obviously the back and people have stood up, you might not be able to see. But Sarah was helping to sort of sing in worship here and leading the worship this morning. Sarah was in worship, you know, she was worshipping in spirit. She was away worshipping. And then a little boy tiptoed across and snuck himself under her arm and just looked, and then looked around and just settled down there quite comfortably. About 30 seconds later, a little bit noisier footsteps came booming across, and another little boy tucked himself underneath her arm. And I thought, actually, isn't that what worship's about? God is there. He loves us. He's not disturbed by our sort of, I need a cuddle, God. You know, yeah, I'm still gonna hold the world together. It's fine. But I can put my arm round you while I'm doing it. And God, I'm not feeling so good today. I just need a bit of reassurance. I just don't want to stand with that lot. I'm going to come here. Okay, let's just tuck you in then. And it just felt like God was giving a pitch of the whole idea of worship. He loves us. You know, Sarah loves her boys. Sometimes they're a little bit of an annoyance, like all children, but at the heart of that, there's a real love for those boys. And it wasn't that she had to distract from what she was doing. They were quite content. And I think that's what struck me. They were quite content just to be close to Mum, just to be there, just to be held, just while she got on with what she was doing. And I just thought, well, actually, if that's all I say, that's quite a nice picture of that position of worship, of just being comfortable. If you remember right at the beginning, I read from Psalm 100, God wants us to be at home. Isn't that the feeling of, I don't care about all these people out here. I'm going to just snuggle in, and I feel comfortable now. We can get on with things. The other reason that I sort of put about worship not just being for Christmas was the whole concept of Epiphany. Now, I don't know whether you know, but last Friday was the 12th day of Christmas, and is often called the Feast of Epiphany. And churches who follow a liturgical calendar we'll celebrate the Feast of Epiphany on the Sunday after Christmas. Some others celebrate it a little bit later. But today, in a lot of churches, they will be celebrating Epiphany. And it comes from the Greek meaning manifestation. And we more commonly think of it as when the Magi, the wise men, came to visit Jesus and saw the manifestation of Jesus as the Son of God in that baby. What they had was a moment of sudden revelation and of knowing, actually, this baby is a bit different. They had been following a star for a while. They had been called and followed the star, and suddenly they saw the embodiment of what they were, you know. I was just saying to Bill yesterday, what were they thinking before it happened, and what afterwards when Herod told them, don't go back, when God told them not to go back to Herod afterwards. They'd been looking, they'd been following a star because they knew something important was going to happen. And then suddenly they see a baby and they think, oh my goodness, it's a baby. But God was present in that, and they had a revelation of who he was. They brought him gifts of gold, which represented his kingship, his royal standing, of frankincense, that he was not only a king, also divine, and of myrrh, that signified his mortality, that one day he was going to die. Although he was coming as God, he was going to die. And one thing, when I look this up, that I mean, and I don't know how true this is, but in something that I read, it said that actually, because the three wise men were from three different continents, they represented the Gentile world coming to worship. Because now, worship wasn't just for the Jewish nation, it was for all nations. Jesus wants us all, whatever nation we come from, to worship him and to know God. So Melchior represented Europe, Caspar, Arabia, and Balthazar, Africa. And so that all the nations were coming to worship Jesus. To make it just a little bit clear, this whole idea of Epiphany, of revelation, I just want to share a little story with you about, quite a while ago, there's a little 12-year-old girl who had just recently started going to Sunday school with a friend, and that particular church in the Sunday school, every year they had an church Sunday school quiz. So what we would think of as the younger youth here were made a quiz team, which they competed against other Sunday school teams for a trophy every year. And of course, this was the first time this particular 12-year-old had been in this church and was chosen as part of the quiz team. Can't imagine why at that stage, but she was. And the way they did it was, they gave each year, they gave a different passage, a different story in scripture for the children who were competing in each level of the competition to read, memorise, and that's what they would be answered questions on. This particular year, it was the first few chapters of Acts. And this little girl was given a version of the Bible. And bear in mind that up to that point in church, the Bible was usually the New King James with thee and thou and wouldest and estest. And so this was a new translation that had just come out. It was probably something like the New Living Bible. I don't know, because it's quite a long time ago. I can't. But she was given this version and started to read it. And actually, this felt quite amazing. This stuff was exciting. These people got up to all kinds of amazing things. And unfortunately, it was only a section. When she got to the end of the section, she wanted to read more to find out what happened next. As you've probably guessed, that little girl was me. And that was the first time that I'd read the Bible for myself, and my eyes had been opened. These are real people. This is God coming into their lives. This is God meeting with them. And I was fascinated. These people were doing exciting things. And I think, Although I didn't think it at the time, the two things, the revelation, if you like, the epiphany, that moment of understanding that I got at that time was, God loves me. God wants me to be part of something. And the other thing was, church is an exciting place to be. And I think for all my life, those two things have stuck with me. Have I always felt that God loves me? No. Have I always felt church is an exciting place to be? No, I haven't, if I'm honest. But the reason I've kept coming back, the reason I've kept on with it, is because in my heart of hearts, in that little moment of revelation, in that epiphany, in that awareness moment, suddenly God revealed something to me that stayed with me the whole of my life, which is probably why I keep going, even when things have not always seemed the best. What I just want to say briefly then is, what is worship? Who is it for? And why do we need to do it together? Because our series this at the moment is Life Together. So obviously God wants us to worship him in our quiet times, in our times at home. And indeed, the more we do that from Monday to Saturday, the more we will be able to enter into worship on a Sunday. Because in order to come fully into what God has for us, we need to be talking to him in the week before. So that when, for example, like Jonathan said this morning, are there any words that God's dropped into your heart, into your mind? Of course God does that when you come into this building, into this service. But it's more likely that you will do it if you've been talking to him during the week, that you will have already think, actually, I think this is something that we as a church should hear about too. This might just be helpful to somebody. I don't know, it doesn't seem to be for me, but actually it might be something that somebody needs to hear this morning. So, what is worship? There's lots of definitions of worship. It's defined as reverence, veneration, adoration, devotion, praise, thanksgiving, paying homage to, glorifying, exalting. The word worship comes from an old English word, worship. And it's worshipping somebody. It is bringing praise. It is honouring somebody of worth. And so the person we worship has to be worthy of that worship. I think it's been mentioned before in church, but I came across an article in Christianity the other week about a group of people called the Sunday Assembly. Now, these people meet every week. They are not Christians. They gather together to sing songs, hear inspiring talk, have coffee together, have a chat together, and create a community together. Now, they're not Christians. This group of people is called the Sunday Assembly, and it was formulated by two comedians, Sanderson Jones and Pippa Evans. It's a non-religious gathering because they want to create community. And the rationale for starting this was they wanted to do something that was like church, but totally secular. But how interesting that the elements they choose to make that something that draws people together. Singing, an inspirational talk, and some sort of what we would call fellowship. Time to chat, have coffee, relax, share our needs, what's happened in the week, and so on. And yet when we come to church, very often we think, some of us don't like singing, and that's fine, so we don't really want to do that bit. Some of us are not good at chatting to others, so we don't really want to do that bit. Sometimes the talk's a bit boring for me, so I don't really want to listen. But actually, these people have put those three very elements together because that's what they feel they need to create a community. And yet, as church, we've already got those. We've got singing, we've got times we can share and chat over coffee, we've got times when we can pray together, and we've got an opportunity to listen in, hopefully to something that will inspire us, that will help and encourage us to get through the next week and to get closer to God. However, if we think of the definition of worship, of being giving adoration to someone of worth, there is only one person, or the Trinity if you like, there's only who is worthy of that, and that is God. So God should be the centre and very essence of our worship. Worship is for God and for Him alone. In 1 Chronicles 16, verses 23 to 36, again I'm going to read from the Message. It says, "Sing to God, everyone and everything." And again, you'll notice how often in the Bible it talks about singing. And I just think there's something significant about singing together. Our praises to God, our understanding of God, our explanation of who God is and how much He loves us. There's just something about that that I couldn't define, but there's something about that that draws us together and helps us to focus on God. "Sing to God, everyone and everything. Get out His salvation news every day. Publish His glory among the godless nations, His wonders to all races and religions." And why? Because God is great, well worth praising. No god or goddess comes close in His honour. All the popular gods are stuff and nonsense, but God made the cosmos. Splendour and majesty flow out of Him. Strength and joy fill His place. Fill His place? This is His place. So strength and joy should be present this morning. Shout bravo to God, families of the peoples, in all of the glory, in all of the strength. Bravo! Shout bravo to His famous name. Lift high an offering and enter His presence. Stand resplendent in His robes of holiness. God is serious business. Take Him seriously. He's put the earth in place and it's not moving. So let heaven rejoice, let earth be jubilant, and pass the word among the nations. God reigns. Let ocean, all teeming with life, bellow. Let field and all its creatures shake the rafters. Then the trees in the forest will add their applause to all who please and are present before God. He's on His way to set things right. Give thanks to God. He is good and His love never quits. Say, save us, Saviour God. Round us up and get us out of these godless places so that we can give thanks to Your holy name and bask in Your life of praise. Blessed be God, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Then everybody said, yes, amen, and praise God. I just think, isn't that just a summary of who we should be, who we are, what we want? God is on His way, it says. God is on His way. So that's what worship is about. That's who it's for. So why do we then need to do, why do we need to worship? The destination of worship is to meet with God. It's not something to be endured. It's not to make me feel good or to give me answers to my problems, although that might be a byproduct of that. Worship is to give God His worth. Worship is to give God honour and praise and thank Him for who He is, what He's done, and how much He does love us. And out of that comes those feelings of, actually, I can see the things in a different perspective now. Actually, I want to go out and tell people about that. Actually, I have got something to be thankful for. We were created to worship God and have fellowship with Him. That's our purpose as individuals, and it's our purpose as a church. And it says in Romans 12, verse 1, "Therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship, service of worship." But do we actually have an excitement about coming to church? Do we really want revival meetings and revival in our land? Yes, of course we do, but it's not revival that we need, but authentic worship that draws us close to God and makes Him known to other people. Real authentic worship, which, you know, this has been said lots of times in church, is what attracts people to God and to church. Not what we can put on for them, not how we can make it so they can connect. When people see real, authentic worship, they are in the presence of God. Very often that's what draws them to God. People see when there's something different. They don't want what they can already get in the social club down the road. They don't want what they can get going to the cinema. What people are searching for is a deep longing, something that only God can fill in their hearts. And when they see us as worshippers, they're drawn into God's presence. Jesus commanded us, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them, teaching them, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." Something that struck me in that has never struck me quite that way before, Jesus says, go, not bring. We go out there and tell them about Jesus because of what we've experienced here of his presence. Then we can bring them and say, come, see, this is what I'm talking about. We don't want to bring them into the same as we've had the conversation with them the week before. We go out, share our lives with them, just by being who we are, just by loving people, by being different, by being honest, by being open, by being friendly. People say, what's different about you? Come. Come and see how I can be like that. It's because of the presence of God. On a Sunday, we're here to worship God, to receive, to be in his presence, to get to know him better, so that we can go out and share his love with other people. If we truly meet God, the consequence will be worship. If we truly worship with others, if we truly worship, others will be drawn to God. And as we are drawn to God, we then feel more likely to go and share that with other people. I can't evangelise cold. I can't go out and just tell people they're going to hell. I'm not that kind of person. But that's the kind of evangelism that was sort of expected of me when I went to my first church I went to. You know, you've got to, are you warning people of their sin in their lives and their destination? I don't know if I can do that, because actually I'm not sure they'd particularly like it if I go out and tell them, I'm 15. What do I know? But it is an opportunity when you share about God's goodness, about answer to prayer, about how much God has helped with other people. People become curious and you can draw them in to God's presence. Worship starts in the week, listening to God ourselves so that we can come and share what the goodness of God is in our lives. What kind of church do we want this to be? What is our purpose? Is it to be a worshipping church, that worship overflows so that we can then just share God's love with other people and go? Worship isn't a selfish thing. It's meant to be something that we draw in closeness to God and to each other. It's like that triangle. I know it's often used in marriage. This is me and my husband, and as we sort of get closer to God, we get closer to each other. That's also true of the church. If we, as members of the church, each individually draw closer to God, then individually we'll be drawn closer to each other because we're getting more like him. And therefore, like God, we don't see those irritating things as often and as much as we would have normally done, because actually we're growing closer to him. And those things, yeah, they're still an irritation, but actually in the bigger scheme of things, is it that difficult? Is it that hard? As we draw closer to God, we automatically draw closer to each other. So our worship draws us to each other and also means that the presence of God is evident. So that when we go and tell people and then ask them, come and see, they can come and see the presence of God in our midst. Just want to finish with that original question. What were you expecting this morning? Were you expecting to meet with God? Were you expecting to know him more? Were you expecting to feel his presence? Or were you just coming to expect a nice time of singing, chatting to some friends that you know, being able to get somebody to pray with you? All of those things, by the way, are really important and are really necessary. But I think if we come with that attitude of, I want to meet with God and I'm prepared to meet with God because I've been talking to him during the week, then all of those things will happen. We'll be able to share our needs. We'll be able to be open and honest. And we'll be able to receive from one another. Do you see what we've got, it says in Hebrews, an unshakable kingdom? And do you see how thankful we must be? Not only thankful, but brimming with worship, deeply reverent before God. For God is not an indifferent bystander. He's actively cleaning, torching all that needs to burn, and he won't quit until it's cleansed. God himself is fire. But he's not an indifferent bystander. I just want to leave you with, and I'm sorry if this embarrasses Sarah, but it was just such a lovely picture this morning to me of what God wants to do every time we meet together. He's just let us cuddle under him, just be close to him, so that we can feel safe, we can feel at home, we can feel loved, so that we can go out confident in his love and in his presence, and bring others in to know that too. So I just hope it's made some sort of sense this morning. I think I had a brief conversation with Keith this morning, just before the morning, the service, that really put everything in perspective for me. Worship isn't just for Christmas. It's for every day. It's for every Sunday. It's for our whole being. Our whole life is a life of worship and sharing and knowing God, so that we can, whatever it is that God wants us to do and be. And I just thought, how lovely. I wasn't expecting to have that conversation with Keith, but all those muddled thoughts that were swirling around my head suddenly came into focus. And I thought, yeah, that's it. It's not just a one-off. It's for everything. It's for every day. And it's because God loves us and he wants us to be with him.